This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget, a Dodge Summer Clearance event going on right now. You hear me talking about it throughout the show. It's a heck of a deal if you want to buy a new car. Check out a Dodge dealer near you. Thanks to Dodge for sponsoring the show. BJ Colleen joining us right now. BJ Colleen, what? What did you say?
I said woohoo.
Oh, woohoo. I only got like a hoo.
No.
I said Dodge. Dodge is who? What do you got to ask who for? No, that's funny. I had to unmute you, and you were in the middle of a hoo-hoo, woo-woo.
Oh.
Anyway, George Kennedy going to be on at the half-hour mark if you're listening on a radio station. If you are listening on your iPod or some kind of a device, it would be on at like 18 or 19 minutes after or something like that. But if you're like working out, it doesn't matter because you're not keeping track of time. Does any of this really matter? I don't think so. George Kennedy will be on next. BJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I went to Washington, D.C. You know, I got to tell you, can I tell you a little bit about Washington, D.C.?
Please do.
You know, there's so much shiznit, that's a real word I made up, on the web about all the political stuff that's going on. And it's like I get so burnt out by the opposing side. Of course, you know, that's how it works, right? But I get so burnt out by the stuff that is going on. You know me, I try not to get too political. But after you go to Washington, D.C. and you see and you witness, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, and you stand in front of a 40-foot tall Abraham Lincoln, and you realize that these people have given their lives for our freedoms that we have today. And you go over to the, you know, the Korean War Memorial, and you go over to the Vietnam Memorial, and you see, you know, the National Mall, and you see the White House. And then there's like memorials. They're everywhere there. And you see so much of America's history. And if you are not touched by it, now I've been to Washington, D.C. before. I've been to the National Mall before. But for some reason, this time I took my wife, and we kind of immersed ourselves a little bit in America's history. And it affected me. It touched my heart, and it touched my soul. And I have to tell people, I'm a different person after going and doing that. I think that everybody that is an American citizen should go to Washington, D.C. and visit what our country is all about there and spend a few minutes and immerse yourself, because it changes you.
I'm just going to say it's the biggest problem is people don't assimilate to the countries they move to anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great to remember your own heritage, but you came here for a reason. And the reason is to enjoy the freedoms and the liberties that are afforded to us. And to just like ignore that is just a tragedy.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
It's true. I got to go to the State Department. A friend of mine was sworn in for the Undersecretary of Economic Development, Energy, and the Environment. They call it the E. If you want to look up a great American, his name is Keith Kroc, and it's spelled K-R-A-C-H, Keith Kroc. I met him because I do another radio show for Entrepreneur Magazine, and he was a guest on my show. This is all relative to the car business, because at 28 years old, Keith Kroc was the youngest vice president of General Motors back in the day. I think he's probably maybe my age, 60-ish. But the reason why is because he was such an entrepreneur. He was an intrapreneur inside of a giant corporation like General Motors. He said, we need to pull this organization, this company forward and start using robots to, you know, weld things and build things. And because of that, General Motors recognized him and said, you know what? That's brilliant. You're a winner. We want you on the team. And at 28 years old, I think today he's still was the youngest vice president of General Motors. So I got to be in the State Department, and I got to really be immersed in the process. And I got to tell you, what an amazing country we live in. God bless America. We'll take a break. Come back and talk more with BJ Colleen. I'm the new Alan Taylor. Watch out, America! I ain't afraid no more to speak my voice. Neither should you. Be right back.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo brakes if your car doesn't have them. And you want the best brakes, you should check out Brembo. If you don't know what they are, then you really should check out Brembo. They literally are the best brakes you could buy. Unless, of course, you have so much money that you would buy something that probably... No, I think it's it. I think that Brembo's the best. Anyway, BJ Colleen is here. I have to be careful. There may be something better out there, but how much could it cost? I don't even have any clue. I don't even know.
Probably four times what the Brembo's cost. But the funny thing is I was at MPG drive day yesterday, and like every vehicle I got, it's like, oh, Brembo brakes. Okay, Brembo brakes.
Right,
you know,
right.
The OEMs are getting it.
So, speaking of, you went to the Motor Press Guild Drive Day that they put together once a year for automotive journalists, where they bring all the, not all, but because there's too many of them, but many, many, many cars. Tell us about it.
Well, it was held out at what we call Calamigos Ranch, which is kind of out in Malibu way up in the hills. And you're right. It's a lovely venue. People have weddings there and they have a restaurant there and it's pretty cool. And it's luckily it was untouched by the fires that they had out there, you know, last year. So it survived. And that's a good thing because a lot of the manufacturers bring their cars and it's sponsored by Motor Press Guild. You know, they bring all the journalists out right. And the manufacturers come and bring cars and their PR people, which was fun for me because I haven't seen a lot of people in a while. So I got to hang out with some of my buddies. But it gives you a chance. You know, they've got a couple routes that you can go drive long and short routes. And since I'm isolated in Vegas now, you know, in LA, I used to get a car every week because they had a delivery companies there. But here it takes a little bit more effort. So I don't drive as many cars as I used to, but I'm trying to get in as many as I can. So the first vehicle I jumped in, and obviously I have excellent taste, because I got in the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio all-wheel drive model.
Right.
And everybody knows that Alfa's come back to the United States and to bring in a couple vehicles. But this Stelvio is unbelievable. Not only the fact that it's cool because it's an Alfa Romeo, but the fact that it's got beaucoup horsepower.
How many?
505 horsepower.
505. Because that's, you know, it's like getting over 500 for an SUV is pure insanity. And I love it. Can you imagine? Think of this. When I bought my Shelby GT500 back in 2007, I bought that vehicle because I thought there would never be another 500 horsepower in the history of the world, right? Anything. But
so
now it's like 700 horsepower is no big deal. You know, Jeep, right?
Yeah.
And Dodge with the Durango. It's like 707 horsepower in an SUV or a Jeep and 500 in these luxury cars. It's completely fantastic. Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
No, I was just going to say, and you're absolutely right, it's fantastic because what's nice nowadays, as opposed to maybe 30 years ago, is we have the safety to back it up. You
right.
know, 30 years ago, 500 horsepower, you were putting your life on the line.
Well,
right?
And you have to have Brembo brakes. You have to have horsepower braking to go along with the horsepower of the engine. Right?
Absolutely. So. It's great to go, but you got to stop, right?
That's
important too. So, so the Alfa Romeo Stelvio, I mean, everything about it was just amazing. It's fast. I mean, it's just quick off the line. It's had great seats, you know, very tight seats. I don't think they were Recaro, but they sure felt like Recaro seats.
Right.
You know, it was a automatic transmission, but it had paddle shifters. Like I said, twin turbocharged V8. It is not for the faint heart for the price, though, because it started at 80. This was 88. Woo-hoo. And our friend Scott Brown, who's the PR man for, you know, Dodge and the FCA,
right,
said that he goes, this is a cheap one. He goes, the expensive ones go up to $100,000. So,
baby,
you know, but Alfa Romeo has always been a storied mark. And if you want to have something special, this is definitely an excellent option because it really was a blast to drive. Well, so I'm sorry I had to get out of it.
You know, what's funny is cars like this, they do something to you. And I remember talking to the guy who was the lead engineer for the Enzo Ferrari. And of course, FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, Fiat owns and Chrysler and Dodge, they own Jeep, they own Alfa Romeo and Maserati and these, you know, there's a lot of DNA of these vehicles. But when you talk about Alfa Romeo and Maserati, something happens to you when you get in these cars. Same thing happens in a, you know, even in a, like I had that Viper ACR. You sit in the seat and all of a sudden the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Taylor comes out, you know? It's like,
so true.
It is. And how do you put that in a car? I don't know, but these companies have figured it out. It's something in the pheromones or something. Your body starts to sweat differently, you know? I don't know what to think.
I think if I owned this car, I would spend most of my time in jail just because, you know, you can't help but put your foot down. You know, the guy who drove it before me when I got it, he goes, how heavy is your foot? I said, it's solid lead, baby, you know. So it's like, you know, you've got to drive it fast to have fun. And, you know, you could take it to the track and things like that. But, I mean, this car is just, you know, for me, it's just an arrest warrant waiting to happen.
Well,
so.
And since I know you so well, BJ Killeen, you are that way on the track, but you won't touch your phone. You will not be distracted when you're out in the public. And I respect that greatly about you because that in itself is a talent because I can't do it. But we'll take a little break, come back, and talk more about the Motor Press Guild Drive Days. BJ's been driving some awesome cars. Bottom of the hour, George Kennedy going to talk about the Jaguar F-Pace SVR and what that is. It's all new for 2019. We'll be right back. It is The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. I've been talking about how badly my wife wants the new Kia Telluride. We just can't find one. And I'm purposely not jumping out there and buying it because I want her to drive a used car because I'm cheap. And I know I'm going to have to buy her a new one, BJ. Anyway, BJ Killeen joining us. Motor Press Guild is an organization out of Southern California that BJ and I are both involved with. Most of the top journalists are involved with this. And what happens is they have awards for your journalistic endeavors, radio, television, video, whatever else there might be. And it's an organization that we belong to kind of help shepherd what we do. I guess that's a good way of saying it. I don't know. Maybe you could explain it better.
Yeah, we network you know, just make sure that we're all kind of on the same page and on the same umbrella. I'm a 2-year past president. Alan, you need to serve some time on it.
I'm not going to. I would be serving time if I went there. There'd be some fighting going on, baby.
You're funny. All right, so to continue on with the MPG Drive Days, I jumped in the Hyundai Palisade.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Who loves the Telluride knows that the Palisade is the sister vehicle to the Telluride. And this is the limited model. And so I jumped in and I was looking around just to see the differences. And it's funny because the Kia, the interior seems to be a little bit more on the, I don't want to really say luxury side, but there were some more high-end features, it felt like, even though the Palisade has it. But the Palisade's look is a little bit more clean, a little bit more stark, maybe more toward the sporty side as opposed toward the luxury side. So it was kind of interesting. They look very close on the outside. Obviously, it's the same shared platform and everything. A lot of the same features, you know, the safety features. They have the 3.8-liter V6 engine with idle stop and go, you know, 291 horsepower, 262 pound-feet of torque, all the safety features and all the goodies that you expect. So it was, you know, it felt very close to what the Telluride felt like.
But is it a more expensive vehicle?
Well, you know, it's roughly about the same price. This one as tested. This was the limited all-wheel drive, and they usually bring us the top of the line so we can experience all the features. But this one as tested was about $47,600, which, you know, that is a lot of vehicle for the money. So they actually gave us a pretty good option here with the Palisade. And I think the Telluride top one comes in around $48,000 or $49,000. But when you think about it, especially compared to like the Alfa Romeo, that's half the price.
Well, so, well, let's throw something out there. 100,000 mile warranty on a powertrain.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I mean, so, okay, maybe you're not getting a, you know, whatever premium SUV, you know, whatever name you want to drop into that. But
right.
You're getting 100,000 mile warranty. And God, when you go to the dealers these days, I went to a Mercedes dealer the other day, and I swear to you, my doctor doesn't do as good as that dealer did. It was amazing. I wish the medical system, it's my body, my life, but my car, as you know, much more important to them at a dealer level. You know, hats off to Mercedes-Benz for doing such a great job. Now, when I got the bill, I should have had Medicare to pay for that. I almost had a matter of fact, my wife called the doctor. She said, "Are you having a heart attack?" I said, "No, I'm paying the bill, but I'm not sure if it's a heart attack or if my wallet is dying."
Sometimes it's that too.
Yeah,
I agree.
But anyway.
But you know, talk about value stories. I got into the Genesis, which is Hyundai's upper level, you know, second level
trim.
Right,
it's like Lexus to Mercedes to Toyota.
And it was the G80 rear-wheel drive, the 3.3-liter turbo sport model. And our friend Kevin Smith, who used to be PR at various manufacturers,
right,
and formerly Lotus, he was the PR guy, and it was fun to see him. But we jumped in the Genesis, and boy, I'm telling you, you want to talk about value. This vehicle, the sport model, which is a lot of fun, was $56,245 as tested. And the Genesis has got the G70. There's a G90, which I've driven, which is absolutely astronomically fun and impressive. But he also told me there's a GV coming out, which is their new SUV.
Ooh.
So Genesis is going to be introducing an SUV coming up I think next spring, I think he said they're going to do it. But this vehicle is just, the quality is impeccable. The level of quietness I have never heard in a vehicle before. You know, you can pay twice this again for a lot of those high-end nameplates.
Right.
But boy, what you're getting in this Genesis, and I think people are understanding because they really are buying this vehicle. It's got 365 horsepower. You got the 3.3-liter V6 twin-turbo engine, which is really impressive. Every luxury feature from top to bottom that you can expect. They got a Lexicon 17-speaker audio system. It drives so smoothly. It's just got, you know, all kinds of features, shift-by-wire technology, sport chrome quad exhaust tips. I mean, everything is just beyond impressive. I was really, you know, I mean, I've been in the Genesis before, but I was just blown away with the sport model.
Well, it won North American Car of the Year, didn't it?
I believe it did. I think you're absolutely right. And with good cause. And I mean, when they bring out this SUV, people are going to be running
Watch
to the
out.
Dealership to buy it.
So here's the thing. Kia, Hyundai. Hyundai's the parent company of Kia.
Correct.
They also the parent company of Genesis. Now they're going to come out with an SUV. The two you've been talking about, the G70 and 90, are both cars.
Yes.
But SUVs are the hot, hot things lately. I got to say, that company, hats off to them. They are doing amazing things. And the product is, if you make the product, the people will buy it. It's got to be good. It's got to be handsome. It's got to ride and handle. It's got to have a good warranty. The service has got to be great. I think that, the rising star in the auto industry lately, Hyundai is the parent company with the Genesis and the Kia. And my God. BJ, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Love it, Alan. Thank you.
I wish I was at MPG track days. Maybe next
time.
Year. Yeah. George Kennedy coming up next, celebrating a birthday. And we'll talk about the Jaguar F-Pace. A lot of SUVs, as you can see. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or tear up the streets in a Durango. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealer now and save. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack! Yeah, baby! Love Shack, yeah. Well, I got George Kennedy on the line with me now. Calling from his Love Shack. It was his birthday. Happy birthday, Big George. And I know,
thanks,
I know the Love Shack was just rocking. What did you do for your birthday, by the way?
I went out to dinner with my parents.
Oh, nice. Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru, the new Outback. Go where love takes you. There you go, the Love Shack. And if you're in a Subaru, all the better. George Kennedy, so 35 years old, 5 foot fat, 6 foot three. I don't know, what are you?
Yeah, 6'3".
Yeah.
No comment on the weight.
Okay, I know. So I'm trying to figure out what to buy my wife. She really is stuck on the Kia Telluride, and I'm making her beg for it, okay? Beg for it. And she's like, so I bought this Mercedes ML350 Blue Tech diesel. I'm like, come on. Look what I got. It's only, you know, the price doesn't matter because it was cheap. I'm going to sell it. So I'm going to hopefully to make money. I'm not going to tell the world. Cheap. But it has 149,000 miles on it. She goes, how many miles? I go, it's a diesel. They run forever. And she goes,
they run forever. Yeah.
She goes, how are you going from a brand new Kia Telluride that I want, that I've asked for, to this Mercedes? I go, it's a Mercedes Benz. She goes, I want the Telluride. And then guess what drives by us? A Jaguar F-Pace. And I go, look, they make those in diesel too, don't they? I think they do, don't they?
Yeah, for years, that's a good question. I didn't drive that one. I drove this week I was in the Jaguar F-Pace SVR. So anything SV with Jaguar and Land Rover is bound to be something special. It literally stands for special vehicle, you know, race or special vehicle autobiography.
Right.
In this case, it means they took the V8 out of the F-Type SVR sports car, and it's got 550 horsepower. It's supercharged. It sounds like one of those Dodge muscle cars you love so much.
Right.
It snarls. It snaps. Like, when you put it in sport mode, as you're decelerating, it blips the throttle for you as the automatic downshifts, and it makes like crackles and all sorts of cool sounds. It's like when I drove the F-Type SVR, it's one of those cars that like I feel like I'm going to get a ticket even though I'm going under the speed limit because it sounds like I'm doing something wrong.
Right. But so let me just say this. I Googled it. Of course, beautiful thing about Google on live radio. 2019 Jaguar F-Pace diesel. Now, I got to tell you, think about this, and I love what we've got going on in our world right now. Of course, you can start out at $48,500 for the F-Pace, right?
Right.
But what did the one that you drove cost?
That was just like a hair under 80 grand.
Oh! See what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Right. Here's the thing. Now, in the same light, the car my wife wants to get, and we're sponsored by Kia, which I love that, is they start out, the Kia Telluride is like $31,000, $32,000. The one she wants is like $46,000 because she wants the fully loaded one. And I'm like, you're bumping up against, you know, the Jaguar F-Pace. I'm talking about, you know, full-on luxury. But she goes, I don't want an F-Pace. I want a Kia Telluride. Why do you do this to me? And I go, all right. So I left it alone. So then in the newspaper, you know me, listen to me, in the newspaper, on Craigslist, who reads a newspaper anymore? On Craigslist, a Mercedes-Benz, and I know you're going to laugh at this, George, a Mercedes-Benz 350R comes up. You know,
oh my God, the 350R. Yeah.
Right?
Man.
Now, this is a.
Just get a Mazda 5 while you're at it.
Okay, this is a Mercedes-Benz station wagon crossover. It looks like a wagon, but it's all-wheel drive, seven passenger, right? Seven seats
in a
station wagon.
What year is it?
2011. And so it was such a good deal. I bought it. So I drove it home. Now I've got, you ready for this? I've got the ML350 SUV. Sitting next to that, I've got the 350R station wagon. And she's like, what are you doing? I go, it's a diesel, because I'm a diesel fanatic. I love them.
You could run an upscale livery service.
I know, right? They're both black. And she's like, she says to me, we were in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, last weekend. And she says to me, look at all these black cars. She goes, you have two black cars sitting home. They all look like you said, livery cars or limousines or whatever they call them. You know, they're all black in Washington, D.C. because
right.
Everybody's a dignitary. She goes, why can't I get the Telluride? I go, Jan, I go, come on. I go, I'm trying. I just don't want to buy another new car. But it looks like we're going to have to get the Telluride. That's all she wants, the Telluride. Anyway, so the F-Pace, I happen
married,
to be, you know, I've been married 30
years. Being married to a car guy is never enough.
No.
Nothing that a significant other ever says is the right answer.
Exactly. And I've been married so long that she really deserves what she wants, even though I figure if I just make the commitment, like, I bought them. We own them. Why can't you drive them? And she keeps on looking at me, rolling my eyes. Now, fortunately, as you know, I'm a car guy to the bone. If you cut me, gasoline and oil runs out. I can make money on these cars, knock on wood, as long as nothing goes wrong with them.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, man, I'll tell you what, I am so bummed out because these are both awesome machines and I got a really good price on them. And the thing about Mercedes-Benz and all these high-end cars, like the one you're talking about, the F-Pace SVR, you're talking $80,000, you know, so eight years from now, you'll be able to buy them for like 10 grand, which is how it works. Because the people that buy them for the 80 grand want the next new one when it comes out. And they're like, get rid of that old one, you know? So there's such good deals on used cars. That's why I'm trying to tell people. If you can't find what you want new, look on Craigslist or on Car Gurus or on Kelly Blue Book or Auto Trader. Do a search for what you're looking for. You might find one that's a couple years old. Now, I got to take a little break. I had to go on my complete rant there with you for a couple of minutes because I just bought two vehicles that my wife doesn't want to have anything to do with, which irks me to death. So now I've got two Mercedes. I've got my Jaguar that I drive. I've got my truck. I sold my Viper and my ACR Viper and my Demon. And I got a new Supra that's about to be dropped off. She's like, you can get the Supra. Why can't I get my Telluride? Like, I don't even care. Leave me alone. Turn up the radio. Blast your stereo loud.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
You're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. If you're thinking about buying a new Dodge, hurry into your local Dodge dealer and take advantage of the Dodge Power Dollars. That means you get $10 off for every horsepower of the new car you want to buy. Hurry into your local dealer and save now with a Dodge. Yeah, you know what I was thinking also? George Kennedy III from Car Gurus, Boston Globe, Cartender, U.S. News and World Report. I am telling you, I don't know what it is. My wife, I am making her literally beg to buy a new car. But anyway, I was thinking about the Dodge Durango, which they make that one with the big engine. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
Why won't you just let me buy what I want? Anyway.
The car that she wants, everybody wants right now.
I know. We can't find one.
Like, let it. Hey, I'll go on the record. Let her have the damn car, man.
I know, right? So that I can at least, you know, be free from that angst. No, but truthfully, you know, we're talking about Kia is one of our sponsors, thanks to Kia. There's a shortage of these Tellurides because you're right. Everybody wants them. They're really good. I think the price, you know, starting in the low 30s is really good. But if you want the loaded one like she wants, which was has six passenger seating, so four captain's chairs. That's what she wants for the grandkids. Anyway, you've been talking about this Jaguar F-Pace SVR.
Supercharged V8, 550 horsepower. This thing is it's total Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because, yeah, you turn it on and it burbles and it's got the V8 sound. But when you're driving around town, it's pretty sedate. You know, you can kick the heels on the thing any minute and it'll liven up. But you put it in sport mode, you click that shifter over to sport mode, and the thing just wants to kick down a gear and wants to let the revs go, like, at any moment. And the acceleration is brisk.
This thing
will, like, kick you back in your chair.
Right.
And what's cool about it is it's more than just the acceleration. They set up the chassis great. You know, the steering weight changes. The suspension is very responsive. Like, this thing will take a corner. And what's funny to think about is with this car, I'm less than thinking of like, you know, hey, this is an SUV that's all jacked up. Think about it more in the context of like a Ferrari 612 Scaglietti or like the 812 Superfast. Those are like big Grand Tourer cars, right?
Right.
And the concept of the Grand Tourer is you put in your golf bag and your suitcase and your supermodel wife sitting in the shotgun
and you
ride across Europe, right?
Right.
Well, if the whole point is to have all of this space and comfort and to be able to drive fast and also traverse the continent, then why not have like a muscle car SUV where you're not worried about getting that one last weekend bag? Or inevitably, when you go on a trip like that, by the time you come back, I bet the thing's loaded up with all sorts of bags of stuff you bought on the way.
Yep.
You're shipping it back to your mansion or whatever, right?
Right.
So it's a different take on the Grand Touring car.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know me, George, I have always got to have a lot of horsepower in the garage. But then you heard me a minute ago completely contradict that I love diesels, and they are not horsepower, they are torque. But more than anything, they are economical. Fantastic fuel economy and the rest. So there's two sides of Alan Taylor. There is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Taylor, if you know what I mean. Or maybe, I don't know, Mr. Hyde and Dr. whatever. You know what I'm saying.
You're a complicated man.
I know that I've started a little bit of dementia, so I'm kind of an early adopter to these kind of things for elders and old age, and it's starting to really wear on me. But I happen to like horsepower, and this Jaguar F-Pace offers you everything from a economical diesel all the way up to this SVR. And I just think it's a beautiful machine. I've had one of these on the racetrack. It's been about a year since I've done that. I would love to drive that SVR. But you're 6 foot, 5 foot fat and 6 foot three or something like that.
Yeah.
How did you fit in there?
I fit fine. You know, I wouldn't want to sit behind me. That's the funny thing is this is technically a midsize SUV. But if you go to slide the front seat back to where my legs feel comfortable, there is not a lot of, or if any, usable room behind me.
Right.
That said, it's more than what you would get with the E-Pace, where there's literally the seat is up to the cushion. But for the F-Pace, what's nice about this high-level trim is, so you were just talking earlier about, you know, a fully loaded Telluride, you're touching the base price of an F-Pace. Well, the difference is, the fully loaded Telluride has every single bell and whistle you're going to want.
Right.
Heated and cooled seats, the dual pane moonroof. To get some of the goodies, you have to go up to the higher level trims in the F-Pace. And so this has some really cool touches. It has this like diamond quilt seat pattern that really is super comfortable. It has heated and cooled seats, which they're operated via the big sort of wide panel touchscreen that Jaguar offers, where things are kind of hidden behind menus and stuff like that. It'd be nice to see some of these things broken out where it's just an easy, quick, you know, if I want a heated seat, so I want to be able to press it and make it work.
Right. By the way, this SVR is new for 2019. They're offering this new.
It is, but it has some of the control surfaces that have been on the F-Pace for a few years now.
Right.
The actual infotainment screen might be part of the update, but other than that, all the, you know, climate and starter button and volume and all sort of those basic tactile controls are pretty similar from previous years. I expect that Jaguar, you know, you have the I-Pace, that electric car that we talked about
right.
maybe a year ago. That has that funky dual screen, the Touch Duo Pro. That's also in the Range Rover Velar and right. some other new Range Rovers. I expect that to make its way into the F-Type. And, you know, as much as I lament the double touchscreen, it's easier to find the heated seat button on that.
There you go. All right, the 2019 Jaguar F-Pace. The 2029 Jaguar F-Pace. Oh, that's 10 years from now. SVR, 550 horsepower. Absolutely fantastic, I am sure. Because if there was anything wrong, I know George would have said, no, the only thing I don't like is. But unfortunately, he's going to talk about the Audi Q3 coming up next. You're listening to The Drive. Don't go anywhere, George. Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow, because they already made it, so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability. You're listening to The Drive with me, Alan Taylor, and it's brought to you all in part by the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. Yes, we're on the hunt for a Kia Telluride. White. She likes the white. We're going to get one for my wife, George Kennedy III. Big happy birthday goes out to George. He had a small celebration. Not many friends. I wasn't around. I know it was kind of sad, George. You had to go with your parents. And I get that. I get that.
Hey, it was a weeknight, man. I had stuff to do.
I'm playing with you. All right. Car Tender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News, and World Report. You write for a lot. What do you have to say about the 2019 Audi Q3? And so the world knows, the Q is the SUV. Am I right?
That is correct. Yeah. Any of the Audi SUVs are Q, the sedans, and everything else is A. Yeah, this is the car that we reviewed for Car Gurus. The video should be coming out soon. Small SUVs are all the rage right now. If you look at like the BMW X1, the Volvo XC40, which I've talked about before, yeah. is a beautiful little SUV. I mean, these things are selling like hotcakes.
Oh, you know what, though? Hold on. They're all awesome.
What's up?
That's the best part. Every yeah. one of them is fantastic. I mean, it doesn't matter who's making them. They're all good.
Right. So when you break it down, none of them are terribly spacious, and that's the funny thing, but they're all really nice inside. They all have the latest, you know, infotainment and safety technology, and every one of them is pretty decent to drive. I mean, all of them seem to have pretty solid handling. If you're the Range Rover Evoque, you've also got like kind of decent off-road cred as well. So it's sort of like a, you know, a master of none kind of
right,
scenario.
Right. But who was it that said, I think it was Einstein, you said it first, you said, you know, small SUV, crossover vehicle, and Einstein yeah. said, it's not fair to judge a fish's ability to climb a tree, right? In other words, you got to make sure, when you say the word small and you say it's not very spacious, well, you know, it says the elephant to the tricycle. You know, it's
sure,
a small
but,
SUV.
You got the same price, you get a station wagon, you can get a Volkswagen Golf, has more space, and that's a perfectly fine commuter car.
All right.
So they present themselves as SUVs, sport utility vehicles, when in reality they're a jacked up hatchback that doesn't have the same kind of capabilities as a real SUV.
Yeah.
So I like them. They're a nice place to sit and drive in, but there is, you know, reality has thrown itself out the window in terms of what people use these things for and how they position themselves in advertising material. So
right.
it's a funny thing. But this is a really nice car.
Yep.
As a commuter car, as an upscale commuter car, this thing is crazy nice. It comes with a 2-liter turbocharged inline four that makes, I think, 258 pound-feet of torque and, I think, 228 horsepower. And that's fine. That's enough to get up and go. You know, you can put it in dynamic mode to get a little bit more out of it. Corners pretty well. What's really nice about this car is the interior. And I think you and I have talked before at length about infotainment systems and proprietary control systems and stuff like that. Audi came out with a new version of MMI. And the funny thing is, after years of having its own controller set up, it's just a touchscreen with big icons just like everybody else.
Right.
You go to a Chevy, finally, you go to a Hyundai,
right,
it's just a bunch of big icons. It's the same.
And here's the deal. It's so important because more so for us, because as journalists, we're driving something new every week. And when you get into something that is not got like the standard, like when you go to Europe and you go to plug your computer in, it's got one of those big old funky plugs and you're like, oh no, I don't have the adapter. It's like it'll drive you nuts. When you get into a car and it doesn't have the standard that America is used to have, like in this case, we'll call it Apple CarPlay, which is easy.
Right.
I went to a rental car place in Washington, D.C., got into one car, didn't have Apple CarPlay. They said you can take any of the ones. Literally, we walked down until we found one of the rental cars that had CarPlay. And that made us rent that car, the CarPlay, this way we're not going to kill ourselves or somebody else fiddling with a stupid radio. Anyway, you liked it. We're running out of time.
Funny.
How much was it?
Funny you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So it was. It starts at $34,700, and our Prestige, top of the line Prestige S line trim, costs $42,900. And that MMI system comes standard across the line. It's funny you were talking about the European market. And, you know, the rationale is that for some reason I'd heard that nobody in the European market likes smudges on screens.
Oh,
and if that's a reason to not have that, that's insane. It's funny when you look at this compared to the Acura RDX, which they have, Acura's poured a ton of money into a new infotainment system with the controller down by the shifter and all that stuff. Lexus has remote touch.
Yep.
And it's funny to see how Audi with MMI, which is one of the leaders in in-car tech, has given up on that. And gone to
they
a simple
should.
Touchscreen.
They should. When they first came out with it, I called the iDrive the I Want to Kill Myself Drive. No, that was BMW. That was BMW. Never mind. Yep. All right. The Audi A3. See that? How we get all mixed up with it? George Kennedy III.
Q3.
What'd I say? A3? See, I messed up.
You said A3, man.
It's because a commercial break's going to run me over. Thank you, George. Car Gurus, Car Tender, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. You find him everywhere. We'll be right back with another hour of The Drive.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, in the last hour, if you're listening to a podcast, you would have already heard, or if you're listening to the radio, we've been talking about SUVs. Everyone is talking about SUVs because everything SUV. I mean, everything. Lamborghini SUV. So guess what? Since we talked about all the other SUVs, we might as well talk about the Lamborghini. I'm not going to try and mess up this name because it's one of those names you have to be like, you have to be ethnic to be able to say it properly. So the most ethnic guy I know is Carl Brower.
Yeah, that's me.
Executive publisher of Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com. Carl Brower, how do you say the Lamborghini SUV name? I honestly don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're asking because it's key, right? You talk to the Italians and or the Germans, and remember, this car is basically kind of half and half. It's a hybrid. It's a hybrid, not a hybrid drivetrain. It's a hybrid between German engineering and Italian kind of style.
Because
and
who owns Lamborghini these days?
Volkswagen AG.
So Volkswagen.
The Empire.
Brower. There you go.
They own everything.
See, so you're the German guy. You should say this correctly because it's all in the family here. Lamborghini what?
Lamborghini Urus.
You couldn't even say Lamborghini right the first time. And say it one more time. I botched it for you. Is it urine? What? What? What did you say?
It's the Lamborghini Urus.
Urus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's U-R-U-S. Most non-ethnic people would say Urus and sound fine saying it. But if you talk to the people who at Lamborghini who are saying it doesn't start with the sound of making a Y noise, which is Urus. Urus sound, you know, the first part of Urus uses the Y shape of your mouth.
Isn't that a Toyota? Toyota makes a Urus, don't they? Right? So, I mean, somebody else makes a name with that, but what kind of a name? It's like the new Porsche. What's the name of the new Porsche?
The Taycan.
See?
Taycan.
No, a Taycan. Taycan?
Taycan. I thought it was Taycan.
See? Come on, give us some names like the King or something easy we can say. You know? Right. Urus. I know. Lamborghini hates me, and I don't ever have a chance of driving it, so I can get away with making a little bit of fun of the name. Now, happen to love the machine itself. Not a fan of the name, but that would not stop me from buying it if I had your money, Carl Brower. So, talk about the Lamborghini Urus. Urus. I don't know. I'll say it and try.
Yeah, well, Lamborghini is doing what every high-end specialized car maker has done over the last few years, which is to make an SUV when they never would have appeared to be an SUV brand not so long ago. And, of course, what happens when every one of these specialized brands makes an SUV? Guess what becomes their best-selling model, Alan, within minutes of them releasing it?
Are you kidding? The
Urus is now the number one selling Lamborghini out there.
Oh, my
and,
gosh. How much are they?
I can understand why.
How much are they? And you can understand why for such a good price of like $1.49.
Right. No, you can have one. Alan, a Lamborghini Urus can be yours for the low, low starting price of $199,000. The one I had, the way it was equipped, was $231,000. But you know, if you're real, prudent with your option box checking, you can get in there under $200,000. Come on.
And it's got a 100,000-mile warranty. What's the warranty? I'm just curious. I'm just comparing it to the Kias and Hyundais of the world.
I believe it's 336. Okay. I'd have to confirm that, but it does make 641 horsepower.
Oh,
and
now we're
top
talking.
Speed. Yeah. 641 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds. Top speed, 190 miles an hour.
Good Lord. Now, I'm making a lot of fun, and I'm going to play a song here in a few moments that I'll read you the name of it when I can find it again. Oh, here it is. It's called The Original Prankster, as you know, by The Offspring. I am the original prankster. Because Carl is such a put-together guy, I got to tell you. I mean, look at him. He's the Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com executive publisher. And here I am embarrassing him. Where's that song? It's time to play it. Right here. Original Prankster. Here we go. Because this is what it needs to sound like. Because, Carl, you're such a good... This is it right here. You're such a good sport to not say to me, Alan, please be more dignified. I can't do it, Carl. I just can't. This is me. I'm the original prankster.
You, Alan.
I know. Oh my gosh, you guys, the Lamborghini Urus SUV, $231,000. But if you want to beat the tail off of anything else on the road, well, I think there might be a good race between the Jeep Trackhawk, though. Carl, I'll get one. You get the Urus. We'll go out there and grunt like men. Bring Tim Allen. We'll see what we can do. Take a little break. We'll get more with Carl Brower. I'll try to be more dignified on the other side. I doubt it. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America. And thanks to our friends at Subaru. The new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Subaru. Carl Brower joining us. Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, Dealer.com. He's the executive publisher. Had a few more words to say about the hoodies.
You know, I just realized, Alan, I want Lamborghini to sponsor your show because I want to hear you come back from a break and say, and so make sure you guys check out the new Lamborghini. Get forced and paid to say that. I want you to say that.
But, you know, in Italian, I'm sure it means sexy love or something like that. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good anyway.
Exactly. You know, there's some, it's actually, I did look up the name and it actually is related to the animal that a lot of their names are related to, which is the bull. So it's related to, the Italian, you know, bull history that a lot of their other vehicles have been named.
Yeah,
after,
the big so. Dangling participle parts. I get it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Who knows what? I won't speculate
what
on exactly.
Of the bull does it mean?
But, you know, we spent so much time decoding the name pronunciation and all. We barely got into the car itself. But yeah. Just so you know, it's pretty amazing. I actually used it. I ran my family down to Balboa Island last weekend and were able to enjoy ourselves down there off Newport Coast. And we loaded up the thing with family luggage and food and all the stuff we wanted to bring with us and all. We had a nice condo that we rented. And I got to tell you, it was a full-fledged family transportation device when I used it to and from Balboa Island. And then, of course, once I got them all out of it, I could do things in it that I knew my wife would be screaming at me for. And it also was pretty impressive on a twisty road by myself. So it's a luxurious, capable SUV.
I'm sure it is. $231,000 as tested. But this is the one, right? You said you went down to Balboa Island. So this is the James Bond version of the Urus from Lamborghini that the wheels fold in. You just drive it right into the water, right? Right?
I did use the ferry to go across that exact thing, but across my mind. And I did post a thing on social media saying it's not very often you get to test the seaworthiness of a Lamborghini. And I had a shot of it on the front of the ferry going across the channel. That was pretty cool.
Cheater. Okay, real quickly, thank you to Lamborghini, an interesting name. We're going to have to look up what the Urus means. Monterey Car Week, you and I were both there. The classic car auctions, they were off quite a bit. Can you give us a little insight? Why do you think, did I hear like something over $100 million off from last year with the auctions of all these exotic and fancy and classic cars?
$115 million off from the previous year, which is a huge drop. That's like 30%. So it was in the 200 millions and then all in the previous year, it was over 300 million. Mm. So big drop. And, you know, I think we've got a lot of factors that are playing right now, right? We've got tariff concerns. We've got stock markets jumping up and down all over the place. And I honestly think we've probably had gotten a little nutty on the prices people were paying for cars before as well. And we've been around long enough to know this is a cycle that we just go through. And so there was a big pullback this year, and you know, you never forget that you always have the people who are selling and they're wanting to pretend it's yesterday, and you always have the people who are buying and they're thinking about tomorrow. So all the people who saw prices last year were trying to get the same money, and all the people who are looking at all the circumstances going on who are about to spend money were saying, no, I'm not going to pay that much. Someone did it last year, great. This year, I'm not doing that. So it was a big drop, and I think it indicates a little bit of a reset in the car value thing. Not a huge one and probably an overdue one, but we're going to have a little bit of a reset on vehicle values probably.
Well, you know, I was talking to Wayne Carini from Chasing Classic Cars, and he took a bunch of cars there, didn't sell any of them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So it's kind of a strange thing. I don't know. You know what? Every now and then there's a little dip. I don't think it's a reflection on the entire auto hobby when it comes to the super high-end collector cars. But we won't know till next year if it's worse or better. It'll just be like, oh, with a hiccup.
Well, and a lot of people were noting that cars that were under sub-$100,000 cars, you know, for people who play in that kind of piddling area, Alan, you know,
right, those people.
No, but the sub-$100,000 cars were actually still selling and getting, you know, pretty good prices in comparison to previous years. It was these ultra expensive, multi-million, 10 million plus dollar cars that just couldn't pull the numbers they used to pull. So right. For normal people like you and I, it actually probably hasn't had that much of an impact on the kind of cars we buy.
No, I think that, you know, the one car that was going for $70 million or something, and the guy goes, oh, I meant $17 million. Oh,
that was a big hit.
You know? Anyway, we're going to come back and talk more with Carl Brower. I'm going to try less and less throughout this interview to embarrass him. So when we come back, we're going to talk about something fun. It's all fun when it comes to cars. The Corvette C8 convertible reveal. This is The Drive. Dirty, sweet, and you're my girl. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Well, yes, this is The Drive, and our show brought to you in part by the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. Thanks to Kia for sponsoring the show. If I didn't have sponsors like the bold ones out there, the rough and ready ones like Kia, who else would sponsor my show? I mean, I have wonderful sponsors. Brembo Brakes. You find those on some of the Kia models. Thanks to our friends at Dodge. You find Brembo on Dodge also. Subaru. They got the new Subaru Outback. We got some great sponsors. We appreciate them all. And then there's the friends. The friends that allow me to be the guy that I've become. The twisted, crazy car guy. Like Carl Brower from Auto Trader, Kelly Blue Book, and Dealer.com. Carl, thank you. Thank you for being my friend. I appreciate it.
We all get to live vicariously through you, Alan. See, we can't be the 12-year-old adult car fanatic who hosts his own radio show, but you can. And all of us just have to, like, look at you and say, see, that's how we should all do it if we could do it.
You know,
but he can do it, and we can all just kind of sponge off of it and just kind of enjoy being around it.
And it's like when you finally see me kind of laying face down in the mud, because at some point it's like I will be that guy on social media that's like, oh, yeah, we knew Alan was going to eat it one of these days. It's okay to laugh. It'll be okay to laugh. Anyway, I would deserve it at that point. All right, the new Corvette C8. Which is the new mid-engine Corvette. They are now going to show what they're calling a convertible, but I beg to differ. It is, I think, more of a Targa. Or is it a convertible? I don't know. What do you know, Carl?
Well, remember, they've all got the removable top. So I don't think there's going to be one sold. Actually, there probably will eventually be some kind of performance-oriented one that you can't pull the top on, like the Z06 from the last gen. But right now, you know, they've broken the seal on the C8. We've now seen it. And the ones they showed had a removable center section, Target, just like you described.
Okay.
So I think this will be a, you know, completely folds away and it leaves you nothing but a windshield that's sticking up from the main body and it's all flat behind the passenger cell.
I think that will be absolutely freaking awesome.
Me too.
Yeah. It's going to change the look so dramatically, you know, that it's like, it's kind of like Mustang Fastback has its look, and then convertible has its look. They're almost two different. I mean, they are two different cars, but they're almost
totally different.
You know what
totally
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't wait. So when is the reveal?
It's next month. Now I'm blanking. It's in October,
okay.
And I can't go. Oh, I remember it doesn't, I'm on another trip.
In other words, it's coming up soon.
Georgia or something? They're doing it on the East Coast, but it's going to be cool.
Yeah. It's funny. Of course, you know, fall, it's going to be beautiful. They're going to find somewhere, you know, that to be able to have the top down and scarf around your neck and a little pipe with some marijuana in it if it's legal in that state. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. So has anybody driven in your team the new C8 Corvette yet?
No, we have not driven it.
Man.
I believe the invite is about to go out, and I think the drive's going to happen in the next month for most of us. But, yeah, it's, I mean, anxious, you know? I mean, that mass centralization, that mid-engine design, I always was a fan of it in theory, and then I finally got to practice it in reality when I got my 2005 Ford GT. And
right.
Pretty much lived up to the billing, you know. It was like, yeah, that's exactly what I hoped a car with an engine in the center would feel like.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd driven some Ferraris and all that before that, so I kind of knew, even you know, some. I remember driving a Fiero GT once. That's technically mid-engine with the six.
Right.
But you really, when you get a V8 mid-engine car and you can own it for 13 years and put 31,000 miles on it, it's hard to go back, is all I'm saying, Alan. Once you've experienced that, it's like, man, you drive cars and the weight isn't that well centralized that they all feel like a compromise.
Well, you know, it's funny. Here we are talking about this in the year 2019, right? But I wonder, and this would be a great something to research. And, you know, it's not going to be me because I'm illiterate. So somebody on your team can do it. Who did it right first? The mid-engine sports
Lamborghini.
Car.
Lamborghini. Miura.
Come on. Serious?
Yeah, Lamborghini Miura.
1967?
I believe it was 66 or 67, yeah, first year for that car. That was the first, like, what people called supercar. I believe that car coined the supercar phrase. Mm. 12-cylinder engine in the middle of the car. Mm. And Ferrari hadn't done it yet. And, of course, within a couple of years, they came out with their version. And then, yeah, that was it. Everyone started knowing that that was really the way to build a car.
Carl, I got to tell you, because when I was 19 years old, living in Southern California, I painted a 1967 Lamborghini Miura S. The brain surgeon that owned it. What brain surgeon would let a 19-year-old kid paint his car in his garage? First of all, I'll tell you, the guy was insane. But it was lacquer, and I was a really good painter, and I was painting cars for quite a few of my friends and their parents that had really nice cars. And I guess he thought, you know what? Let's give it a wing here. So I painted a Lamborghini Miura S. I changed the color from red to black. But I got to tell you, ever since that happened, and I was always a car guy, but I'm so glad. I mean, are you sure about this, that it was the Lamborghini Miura that was the first one that got it right? Because here we are all these years later, 2019, now Corvette with a mid-engine. I mean, the Ford GT mid-engine, all the best supercars of the world, mid-engine. That car had an effect on Alan Taylor, I'm telling you. I did. It really did. I mean, I got a little tear going here. I'm finding my origin.
Most beautiful cars.
Yeah.
That car is an icon of the history of the automobile. It was beautiful. It literally, you know, changed the world in that, between its look and its mechanical advantages of the mass centralization with that engine behind the passenger cell. It was a new era. That car started a new era and a new philosophy on how to make the ultimate performance car.
I got a little tear in my eye. I just figured out where it all started. It's like laying on a psychologist, you know, couch with Carl Brower. Oh, I'm going to take a break and have a little cry, you guys. When we come back, Carl, we got to talk a little bit about sales. August sales, how were they? That's your job, brother. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Ain't got enough dough to pay the rent.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or tear up the streets in a Durango. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealer now and save. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Well, I'm Alan Taylor. My guest right now, Carl Brower. He is the executive publisher of Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, Dealer.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Brian Moody from Auto Trader. So we'll get both sides, see which one of these guys is really more knowledgeable. I would say that probably Brian will yield to your greatness, being that you're the executive publisher.
No, I was going to say that's going to be Brian. No, not even a contest. It's Brian.
That's nice of you. All right. So August car sales, new car sales. How were they? Strong, weak? How was the economy doing for the car business?
They did really well, Alan. You know, we're 9 months in now. We're in the ninth month of the year, and the first eight, you know, people were wondering, well, we're going to be down this year. Of course, quote unquote, down means we might only sell about 16.7 million cars this year. Oh, what a train wreck. Oh, right. You know, it's like, that's a lot of cars, right? But, you know, it's the first year we'll be under 17 million for probably in like 4 years, I believe, 3 or 4 years. So that's considered a big deal. And everyone's just kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out. And of course, I think they're going to be waiting for a while still, because I think the economic indicators in this country overall, still, whether it's inflation, whether it's earning power, wages, everything is still really solid in this country. And there were a lot of leftover 19s starting in August that everyone was freaking out. It's like, oh, here we are. We're in deep trouble. All these 19s, there's more 19s out on dealer lots than there usually is. That's last year's model. We're going to have trouble. August cleared the whole, rebalanced the whole thing. Oh. And not even with huge incentives. Oftentimes they'll pull the incentive levers to get rid of cars. There was a little bit of that, but relatively speaking, it wasn't crazy. And there were anywhere from 10 to 30% better sales per brand. We were up well over August of last year. And all the inventory is now considered back to where it's supposed to be as far as day supply for each of the manufacturers.
You know what's funny?
1 month kind of fixed it all.
It's funny because you talked about something that, you know, you and I understand, incentives, right? Because there's new models coming out. They want people to, hey, come on in, buy these. We'll give you a good deal. It's time we've got new models coming out. And I got to tell you, Dodge right now, is Dodge one of our sponsors, but I'm looking here. I don't think I've ever seen a more brilliant idea than what they've got. It says, I'm just going to read it to you here. There's never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. You know, you and I, because, of course, I sold mine. You still have your demon. Because they're offering Dodge Power Dollars. Ready? That means you'll get $10 off for each horsepower of your new car. Hurry up into your local Dodge dealer. Think about that. If you buy a 707 horsepower Hellcat, you get $7,000 plus off of the price of that car. That is, I mean, who does this stuff?
Brilliant.
Dodge has got brilliant ideas, and they continue even when they're, because that's an incentive. Hell yes, that's an incentive.
They're paying you for horsepower.
Right.
That's literally what they're doing. They're paying you to get more horsepower.
You gotta love it, man. And so I was telling, I don't know who I was telling on the show here today, I am Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because I love horsepower. Man, it's in my bones. But then there's another side of me, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Allen, or Mr. Taylor, whatever you want to call it, that loves economy. And you're the same way. I just realized that. Because you've got the demon, you've got a GT, you animal. Then you've got, what is his daily driver, everybody? Like me with a Blue Tech diesel Mercedes? He's got a Fiat 500e electric car because he can go there by plugging it into his house or his cigarette lighter of his car is next to him or something. I don't know how you get power when you're on the road. There's got to be a way.
Yeah.
What happens if you run out of juice on that?
Car,
you know, it's got a low. They've stopped making those, by the way.
Obsolete EV, 80-mile range, obsolete car.
Right.
It still serves for 90% of my wife's needs.
There you go. But see, you heard, and maybe we should talk about this, they've decided to stop building the 500 and the E500.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
Couldn't sell them.
Well, nobody can sell cars anymore. You know, I did a report on Fox News yesterday about the cars going away for 19, and there's a bunch. And you know what it is? Specifically what I just said, the cars going away. You look at that list. There was one on there that wasn't a car. It was the Lincoln MKT. And that's because there's a new Lincoln to replace it, a new Lincoln SUV to replace that SUV. Every other one, Beetle, Bolt, Cruise, you know, all the cars, mostly the smaller cars that are going away, and all the new cars, then we have the new cars that were coming, and guess what they all are? One guess.
SUVs.
They're all SUVs, with the exception of, like, the Supra and the Corvette.
Right.
So,
good Lord. Well, say goodbye to the cars, and hello to some of the most fantastic SUVs in the history of the human race. Karl Brauer.
Yep.
Now, after talking about, we've been talking about SUVs, most of the show here today, and you just gave us the nugget, which is, yes, cars are going away, being replaced by crossovers, glorified hatchbacks, some of them, as you know, some of the guests are saying. We're going to find out a little bit more about what's going on in the car business from Brian Moody coming up next. Karl Brauer, Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, Dealer.com, you're the best. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Alan. Always fun.
All right. Thank you for letting me be the crazy car guy that I am. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be right back with more of this debauchery. Stay with us. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you by the Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Love has taken me right to the door of Brian Moody now, executive editor, Auto Trader. God bless you, Brian. I got to tell you, I saw you posted a picture of your gorgeous son and your gorgeous daughter and your cute little wife or your girlfriend. I don't know, so you can straighten that out right now. Very nice little family you have on Facebook there.
Yeah, they're actually all good, interesting people in their own way, and so I'm thankful to have that, that they're all kind and healthy and interesting and smart and all that kind of stuff.
Ah, God bless you. That's awesome. By the way, yeah. So in your children's future, because they look to be about, I don't know what, 14 and 15, 14, 16?
Yeah, 13 and 17, you're right.
Okay, right in that realm. So the 17-year-old's already driving, and he's probably going, Dad, do me a favor. When you get all rich and everything, buy me like a Tesla or something, right?
I mean, no, it's like, he doesn't care about that.
Oh, what's he want?
Well, for one thing, when you say things like Tesla and all those things that other people have, my kids are like, oh, those people are kind of basic because they just get the easy thing.
Ooh.
They don't think about it.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Right. So there's some truth to it. What I think my son would want in a car would just be something with a nice sound system and that's small and easy to drive.
Honda
that's
Civic.
Really all he would care about.
Honda Civic, Toyota, Corolla. My son, my 19-year-old son, you're going to laugh because here he is. He's a working maniac. He's an entrepreneur. And you know what? He drives a 200,000-mile Toyota Corolla with a bicycle rack on the roof. He's got a good sound system in it, and he's got his mountain bike on the top almost all the time. So, you know, he's got his own mode of transportation in case the 200,000 miles.
And those go for a long time.
Yeah, right? So it's funny. Yeah. Kids these days aren't like you and I were when we were young. I mean, they want every muscle cars, and they really don't care. No, they just want to get there.
I think my kid would really love to have a brand-new Prius.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
That's funny. All right, well, let's talk about this. We've been talking about, on the whole show, it seems like SUVs, everything. I understand you at the Auto Trader World have the 12 best new electric cars for 2019.
Yeah, we actually came up with an award list of cars where we feel like they're the best in their category. But we did have a couple of qualifications. Now, for one thing, there are not that many electric cars to pick from right now. So what we included was both electric and plug-in hybrid.
Okay.
So the bottom line is, in order to qualify to be on this list, and then, of course, you know, we do issue a press release and we do all this extra stuff, you know, to get extra traffic to it. But one of the rules was it has to have a plug.
Yeah. So electrified.
For example, you know what I'm saying? Like it had to plug in. So, so for example, like a Toyota Camry hybrid wouldn't qualify because there's no plug.
Gotcha.
And so we picked this list of cars and we used our scoring system at Auto Trader. You know, we include things like range. So I'll give you some of them and, you know, you tell me what you think.
Okay.
In alphabetical order, so we didn't rank them because that always gets you into hot water. you know, who's to say 20 extra miles of range is worth $5,000 or not? And then everybody gets online and go, you guys just don't like Teslas, that's all.
Right.
So we put the Chevy Bolt on there because we feel like it's a good value, even though it's about a $41,000 car. But we suggest getting the Premier version because when you get the Premier trim level, you get so many more things with the Chevy Bolt that make it easy to live with. And the range for that car is about 260 miles, just a hair underneath that. That's
okay.
Pretty good.
All right, so this
range.
Bolt with a B, like boy, Bolt, $41,000. Is that the premier model you're talking about?
Yep. So you can get one for less.
Okay, right. I was going to say, because they're a little less than that.
That's the one we recommend, though.
Right, because of the goodies and stuff. But 260-mile range, and this is all electric. Just okay.
100% electric.
Okay, so that's and alphabetical. All right, continue.
And then the next one is the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid, which is a minivan. That's a plug-in hybrid. So the electric-only range there is 32 miles, but the overall total driving range is 520 miles, which would include some gasoline, obviously. But we picked this one because, honestly, there are no other hybrid minivans. That's the only one for now.
Right. How much?
You know, we also like the Honda Clarity.
Honda Clarity is cool because it has this weird
thing where you can get hydrogen-powered one. You can get a hybrid one, which is the one we picked, the plug-in hybrid. You can get an all-electric version. Anyway, $34,000 for the plug-in hybrid version, and you're going to get amazing fuel economy. 47-mile all-electric range, 340-mile total range. That's a good one.
All right, back up. What was how much? We didn't give the price on the Pacifica.
Oh, Oh, the Pacifica is $47,290.
Okay.
The one that we recommend is a limited. And I know that sounds like a lot of money, but go out there, and anybody who's in the market for a minivan, price minivans that are loaded with, like, leather seats, and that's what this one has, leather seats, a big sunroof, and the DVD and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's going to be in the 40s. You're going to spend 42 to 45 easy.
Yep.
This one's a little bit more, but also we think it's worth it to get the nice stuff. But
right.
we also wanted to include a variety of prices. That's why we have the Clarity, which is $34,330.
Okay. And isn't the Clarity hydrogen?
There is a version of that. And so that's the thing, is that you can get one of all electric, plug-in hybrid, or hydrogen.
Okay.
That's pretty killer, right?
Yeah, right. Okay, keep going. Four.
Hyundai Kona, all electric. That's the SEL. We like that one. Jaguar I-Pace. Now, the Kona is $38,000. The Jaguar I-Pace is $81,000. So obviously, if you're getting a luxury car, you're going to pay more, whether it's electric or whether it's gas. Doesn't really matter. But
right.
we do think that the I-Pace is worth considering if you're in the market for, say, a Tesla or something like that. Kia Niro is also on our list. That's an all-electric Kia. Lincoln Aviator.
Wait. How much is the Kia Niro? Kia Niro.
$39,545.
You're picking all the loaded ones.
Well, because not always. In some cases, we recommended that you don't get the loaded one, like the Honda Clarity. We think you should get the base one because it already comes with a lot of nice stuff.
Okay.
However, on the Bolt and on the Niro, we suggest getting a specific trim level because for value's sake, you get more stuff given how much extra that costs. So it just depends on each automaker is different.
Okay. Number seven.
And the Lincoln Aviator Grand Touring, interesting strategy here. They don't even call it a hybrid or a plug-in or electric. It is a plug-in hybrid, but they just call it the Grand Touring. That's the top trim level, and that's $69,000.
Hmm. You know what's funny? If you look at these so far, the most expensive one was the I-Pace. How much you say? About 80 grand?
$81,000, roughly.
81K.
I mean,
so,
you can get it for 69 starting, I believe.
You said the Clarity was like 35. So I'm looking at the numbers here. So you're talking from 35 to 80,000 bucks. These are all vehicles that are electrified in one way or another.
Yeah.
It has to have a plug.
Yeah.
And look at the variety from little itty bitty cars that get 260 miles on a charge to the Lincoln Aviator or the minivan. We have so many different options as consumers these days.
That's what we thought. Now is a good time to start this. It'll change in the future.
Right.
The list will become more diverse, and we may even split it off to have only a luxury list. But right now, they're all combined in one because there's such variety, and we think these are good.
All right, let me take a break. We're going to come back and do five more. We're talking about the 12 best new electrified or electric cars for 2019, EV, electric vehicle. I got to make sure I always, you know, because it's like the educational part of this changing of our world. We have to continue to remind people EV stands for electric vehicle. But Volvo says all their cars are going to be electrified, which means they will have some sort of electrification, whether it be, you know, hybrid or all electric, but they'll also have internal combustion.
Right.
And, oh my gosh, it's getting confusing. We're going to come back and talk more with Brian Moody from Auto Trader. Don't go anywhere.
You shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs, and I'm under each snare. Intangible. Bet you didn't think, so I command you to. Panoramic view.
Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow, because they already made it, so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future, until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability.
I believe that we have the best choices in the automotive history in cars these days. Cars, SUVs, crossover vehicles, station wagons, trucks, motorhomes, minivans, large vans, it doesn't matter. We have the best product in the history of the world. Safer, more fuel efficient, more for the money, more bang for the buck. Auto Trader right now doing a big story, 12 best new electrified vehicles for 2019. Brian Moody is executive editor. Brian, thanks for being with us. And so far, I'll blow through these. In alphabetically, the Chevrolet Bolt, Chrysler Pacifica, Honda Clarity, Hyundai Kona, Jaguar I-Pace, Kia Niro, Lincoln Aviator. All these are have a plug. We'll just say it that way. So they're in some way electrified.
That's exactly right.
Give me number eight. We have five more.
So fascinating thing. Let me just tell you this one real quick thing about the Lincoln Aviator. It's marketed as the hybrid version, the plug-in hybrid version, is the top trim level. So that's what they're equating with luxury. The top luxury car this Lincoln Aviator is the plug-in hybrid. Just something to think about.
Number eight.
Now, this one is an amazing value. It's not going to get anybody excited like maybe a Camaro or a Tesla, but the 2019 Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid is $36,000 and some change. And this is an SUV with three rows of seats, total range 310 miles, electric range 22 miles. That's a really good car and a really good price if what you really want is an EV to run around and do errands.
And they're fantastic vehicle, by the way. I'm surprised they haven't done better. Give me number nine.
The 2019 Nissan Leaf S Plus, so that's the extended range, 226 total driving miles, all electric, priced $37,000.
Beautiful. Number 10.
Porsche Panamera 4e Hybrid Sport Turismo. That's the wagon-looking thing. 14 miles of EV range, total driving range 490 miles, price $108,000.
Oh God. I would love to talk more about that car, but I need number 11. Number 11.
The 2019 Tesla Model 3 single motor. We picked the single motor for the value of it. It's relatively reasonably priced. It's about $41,000, range 240 miles, and it's a blast to drive.
How much?
About $41,000, depending on options.
Okay. And number 12.
And here we have the 2020 Volvo XC60 T8 Momentum. Lots of power, lots of luxury, EV range, 19 miles, total driving range, 520 miles. It's about a $55,000 car, so that's kind of right in the middle. If you're going to get a luxury SUV, you're already going to be spending that probably anyway. It's a great car, quick, nice interior, and I love the safety tech on the Volvos, and I love the way they look.
I do too. I just drove that thing in Banff, Canada. Fantastic. All right, so Ryan Moody from autotrader.com, you can find this story, 12 best new electric or electrified vehicles for 2019. Out of that list of 12, a very eclectic list of different kinds and shapes and sizes and brands. I see a couple of brands that aren't on the street yet. They are not on this because I'm sure they will be in the future. But out of those, what would you take home?
Do I have my current job or do I have some amazing gig where I can afford whatever?
Yeah, if money wasn't a problem.
The Lincoln Aviator.
Really?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because their whole strategy of making it more powerful and more luxurious as part of the top trim level, yet it still plugs in, I think is brilliant. You don't have to drive it thinking about it being a hybrid or an electric car. It just is. But on top of that, I think it's a beautiful looking SUV.
Now, my question, if you had your current job, what would you buy?
the Hyundai Kona.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, for the money.
Yeah.
I mean, this is in the 30s. It's really quick and really not like when you're driving it, you keep thinking, shouldn't this be more expensive? And it's just, it's a wonderful car.
I got to tell you, and it's probably one that, people are going to overlook, is the Volvo XC60 T8, because when they're electrified, you can also get like a 400 horsepower version.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that is one handling machine. I enjoyed my time behind the wheel of that. I have enjoyed my time with you. You guys can all find this story at autotrader.com.
On the homepage.
There you go. There's videos. There's lots of good information there besides all the things that you can buy and sell. It's an information overload. Autotrader.com. Brian Moody, thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
I'm Alan Taylor. That's about it for me. 2 hours of pure mayhem. Automotive mayhem. We'll see you guys all next week. Same time, same channel.
Texas sand, but my head's in Mississippi. Mississippi.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.